Thank you for pressing play on episode 153 of A-Sides. I'm Andy, and for this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Michael Cardelloni. He's currently the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd. He was also in the group Damn Yankees, and he's an accomplished visual artist as well. So that's what we really dove into at the start of this conversation, was his background in painting, which he has been painting since he was 4 years old. We get a little bit of his techniques, his road to rock music, and his passion for creating art. Huge thank you to Michael for this awesome conversation. And if you happen to be in Asheville, North Carolina on May the 25th, definitely check out his gallery showing Bella Italia with another artist, Philip D'Angelo, with paintings based on locations in Sicily. Very cool. So thank you again for listening to episode 153 of A-Sides.
Look, it's rock and roll!
And cue music.
I thought I would just start with your gallery showing that you have coming up on May the 25th, correct, in Asheville, North Carolina?
Yes, I'm very excited about this. This will be my first art show in Asheville, which is a really cool arts community. Philip D'Angelo Studio is where the art show is happening on Saturday, May 25th. And Phil is a great painter, and he and I have become friends. We both have a shared Sicilian ancestry that we discovered once we got to know each other better. And we thought that would be the great building block for an art show.
Yeah, it sounds interesting and it sounds cool because it is works based on places that you've been, right? So you painted these, like, I guess, scenery and like settings.
I have a lot of family in Sicily. And my wife, Nancy, and I have gone down to visit them a few times. So a lot of the paintings that are going to be in this show are places that I've, you know, stood in and taken a photograph of and then went home and painted it. Mm. And Philip has also done Italian and or Sicilian themed paintings. So we're sharing the gallery space, and it's going to be a really cool show because we have different styles in the way we paint, but because we're doing some of the same locations, it's going to be a really interesting thing to see it from two different, you know, sets of eyes.
Yeah. Like, so it'll be your perspective and then his perspective on it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. So is this only that one day only, or is this just when you'll be there talking about your art and then it's going to be shown longer?
It will be longer. May 25th is the opening, okay. And it's from noon to 3 o'clock. And Phil and I will both be at the gallery meeting people and talking about the art. But then the show will hang, I think, for 3 more weeks. That's generally what they do. They leave the artwork hanging so people can still come in and see it. And in the instance of some of my paintings, there are reproductions that are made. So even if the original painting has sold and someone comes in and sees the original painting, they may still be able to acquire a canvas reproduction of it. So that's part of the reason why they leave the things hanging out.
Is your work, like, specifically, like, so it's paintings, but is it oil painting or acrylic, or did you use both?
I paint with acrylic simply because it dries fast. And there was a period of time where I was carrying art supplies with me on tour during a Lynyrd Skynyrd tour. and painting in the hotel rooms during the day because we have a lot of downtime. And because acrylic dries so quickly, that would mean that that night I could pack up the painting and carry it back down to the tour bus. I did study in oils and watercolors and every medium when I was in art school, but I have really taken very comfortably to acrylics, and that's all I paint with now.
Yeah, I did see that you basically have been painting since you were four.
Yes, that's true. When I was in kindergarten, apparently the teacher had seen my interest in painting and drawing and recommended to my parents that they may want to encourage that, which was really cool of that teacher, by the way. So the summer in between kindergarten and first grade, my parents enrolled me in an art course. Cleveland, Ohio, that's where I'm from. The Cleveland Institute of Art had this art course, and I was this little four-year-old kid in there all summer being taught all of these proper art techniques and theories, and I'm sure most of it went over my head, but maybe some of it stuck. But yes, it has been a lifelong experience, wonderfully so, of painting. And then I started drumming when I was 9. But the two have coexisted ever since. And they're really two halves of a whole for me because I just can't imagine only doing one and not doing the other because I've done them at the same time my whole life. And they are a perfect balance of each other and they enhance each other and they, I think, kind of complement each other in a way. And, you know, it's very hard for me to separate the two. Because I've only known them together. On any given day, Andrew, I'm either a drummer who's painting or a painter who's drumming.
Well, I'm really like thrilled that her name is Michelle. She had asked if I would like to speak with you because how you mentioned art and music are like two halves. I like to draw and paint and stuff in my spare time, so it's kind of like a thing. Like, I'm not a musician, but I love to listen to music and I love like art too. So I thought it kind of hit
Sure.
both worlds,
It
speaking
does.
with
It
you.
does. And I mean, it's very cool that you like to draw and paint. And you know, it's a wonderful way to express oneself. And I'm fortunate that I have the music and the visual art as two forms of expression. You know, it's life is good. I consider myself very lucky that I get to do what I get to do.
You started at such a young age too. You were like single digits. So when you mentioned that class, so it was actually at a college, and so you're in there with adults basically, and you're like the only kid in there.
It wasn't at a college. It was at an art school, a freestanding.
Oh, okay.
But I was absolutely the youngest person in the room. There were a fair amount of teenagers, a lot of young adults, and adult adults. I don't know if they ever looked over at me and thought, "What is this kid doing here?" I will tell you what I was doing. And I still actually have the painting, and it's the Planters Mr. Peanut guy,
Oh.
you know, with the monocle and the top hat and the cane.
Yeah.
That's what I painted, and I still have it, and it's not bad.
I was looking at some of your other art online too, and you had done some stuff that seemed really interesting, basically pixelated paintings. And it
Yes, yeah.
seems so like meticulous how you would have to paint. I guess you painted each thing square by square.
I did. I had this idea to do this series of paintings. I called them pixelisms, where I would take an image and pixelate it. If people would be curious to see those, they're all on my art website, which is michaelcardelloni.com. And they range in subject matter from, you know, movie stars to cartoon characters to famous paintings. Like, for example, I pixelated Mona Lisa and spent several months doing it because that painting has, off the top of my head, 2,200 squares on it.
Whoa.
And I painted each one of those one by one.
Yeah, that jumped out in my head because you mentioned Mr. Peanut, and one you did was the big boy, like that mascot.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a podcast, so people are only hearing what I'm saying. But I am sitting in a room right now in our apartment in New York City, and I'm literally sitting next to a big boy statue. And you and I are on Zoom, so I'm going to turn the camera so you can see. There he is right there.
Oh, oh, wow.
So I have a 5 foot big boy statue in our apartment, much to my wife's displeasure, by the way. But when I came up with this idea to do the pixelisms, I was sitting at my desk across the hall, and I thought, oh, yeah, this would be really cool. I should pixelate something. And then I just turned my head to the right and I saw the big boy statue across the hall in the other room. And I thought, yep, and that's the first thing I'm doing.
Is that your art studio that you're in right now?
No, this is our music room. So my wife's piano is in here. I've got all of the record awards on the other wall from Skynyrd and my previous band, Damn Yankees. But the art room is across the hall.
Oh, wow. Cool. You've done all sorts of different kinds of art. Like, there's almost like the big boy in that is like pop art. And then you have these landscape paintings. But what's your, I guess where I was going is, what is your kind of favorite thing to do?
Well, I'll tell you, Andrew, I have purposely not settled on one type of art, one subject matter, one style of painting, which might be my undoing eventually. But you see an Andy Warhol painting and it's Andy Warhol. I've enjoyed not creating any kind of boundaries for myself, and I really just kind of paint, by my desire and my whim of what I'm inspired to do. So, as you have said, yeah, I've covered the ground from pop art to traditional landscapes to photorealism portraits and pixelated big boy statues. And for me, it's fun to not, just do one type of thing. I carry a list of painting ideas that are in my phone, and I'm constantly adding to it. I will tell you that the painting I'm working on right now is another landscape, and it's for the art show that's happening in Asheville. But the painting that I did right before that was a painting of the original members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, the 1973 lineup. And that painting is called 50, which is commemorating the band's 50th anniversary that happened in 2023. And that original painting will be at the show in Asheville. From a photorealistic portrait of people to then a traditional Sicilian landscape, it's really kind of covering a lot of ground. And I couldn't even tell you what I'm going to paint next. I guess I'm going to have to open up that list on my phone and see what I'm inspired by.
Well, you said it's kind of your undoing, but I think you actually didn't limit yourself or put yourself in a box, which is good.
Well, that's kind of how I felt, Andrew. I felt that it would be more interesting if when people see my work, they see that I pretty much just go for it and do whatever and wherever. Not only the subject and the look, but literally the style of painting. I did this one series of paintings, which will be represented at the show in Asheville, and they're called the Four Davids. And people will be able to see those on my website. And those paintings, they're all of Michelangelo's statue of the David. I took the David and then I painted him four different times. And each time was really a double homage, not only to Michelangelo, but then to four very famous painters: Van Gogh, Picasso, Roy Lichtenstein, and Andy Warhol. By doing each David and having it be inspired by that next painter, I had to learn how that painter worked. And I had to learn how to paint in that style. that was an incredible process. And that those four paintings took a year to do. And they're very big. They're 4 feet by 4 feet square. The originals were. There will be reproductions, canvas reproductions at the show in Asheville of the Four Davids. But it was an amazing experience learning how to do the work in the different styles of those painters. And those paintings taught me techniques that I'm using right now as I'm working on the Sicilian landscape, because there are techniques that I've learned that I just kind of have stored away. And depending on what kind of work I'm doing, I now have this vocabulary that continues to build.
It'll be exciting to see what you do next too, because you said you don't know. You just
I
have your
really
bank
don't.
of ideas. Do you have any like favorite artists at the moment? Like I know you mentioned the four you did in the styles of, but
Right. Well, those are certainly four of my favorites. I'm also a huge fan of Caravaggio, who is another Italian painter of that Romance period. I love René Magritte, who's a Belgian artist, surrealism. I love M.C. Escher, did these brilliant graphic drawings and sometimes woodcuts with these incredible kind of mind-boggling perspective things.
is that the guy that did the Scream?
No,
Oh,
that's
okay.
no, that is not
Or is
no.
Escher
MC
the stairs, right? The kind
Yes,
of,
MC Escher's the stairs guy. Right. René Magritte is the guy who did the painting of it's a man dressed very properly. He's got a derby hat on, and there's a big apple in front of his face. That's Magritte. Caravaggio was a painter who did, he kind of blazed the trail with this shadow and light approach that a lot of people then copied afterwards. Michelangelo, of course, I love because of his sculpture. I have a long list of artists that I love, and not only have I studied them, but I've made pilgrimages. I've gone to, see Van Gogh's grave
Oh, wow.
in France, and I've gone to the little inn where he passed away and stood in the room. I've gone to Magritte's home in Brussels that has been turned into a museum. It's really fun to kind of experience, where these people lived and the worlds they walked in.
Oh, wow, that is amazing that you've been in those places.
Yeah, it's one of the nice things about my night job, where I get to travel the world. I make a lot of little beeline trips for myself.
So in like your downtime when you're on tour, right, you kind of
Yeah, if there's an art museum or an art gallery in whatever town I'm in, if I have time, that's what I'm doing. Or I'm taking a train to the outskirts to stand by Van Gogh's grave.
Have you seen this thing? Probably going back like 2 years, but I went to this thing in Indiana. It was like a Van Gogh immersive experience where they like showed his paintings. It was like
Yes.
light images on the walls.
Yeah, I did see it here in New York City. It was incredible. Yeah. So you saw it in Indiana?
Yeah, it was in Indianapolis maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, right. They've done those immersive shows with a few other artists. I believe there's a Monet one. Oh, I've been to Monet's house in France and stood in his water garden that he made, that he then painted. That was pretty cool to be
Oh,
there,
wow.
right there where he painted.
You had mentioned Lynyrd Skynyrd too, and it was the 50th anniversary. I spoke with one of your bandmates recently too, Damon Johnson.
Really? Oh, very nice.
What is the feeling like carrying on that legacy of the band?
Well, we are blessed and honored that we are able to do so. I will tell you, Andrew, I've been in the band for 26 years now. I've actually been there for more than half of the band's time, which is kind of incredible now that I think about it. The incredible music that the original band created way back when has stood the test of time. People love hearing this music, and we love being able to play it for them. And as long as people want to come out to hear it, we will keep delivering it. Happily so.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the door.
What was like the earliest music you can remember listening to?
The Beatles. I am the youngest of four, and my two older sisters were lucky enough, and I've held it against them ever since, to actually see the Beatles live twice in Cleveland. So I grew up hearing them playing Beatle records. Consequently, they are my favorite band, and Ringo's my favorite drummer. So that's easy to connect those dots. I should mention, I've done my fair share of Beatle paintings. In fact, there's one in this art show. So I grew up listening to Beatle records. My parents loved big band swing music from the 40s. So that was playing in the house a lot. And I have a soft spot for big band swing music to this day. It's also great for drumming. And there is the Lynyrd Skynyrd song called I Know a Little that a lot of people will know just by the title. That is in the show as we speak that we are performing. That is my favorite song to play because it really is kind of like playing a big band swing song. It's a great tune. It has kind of this tip of the hat to Glenn Miller and the song In the Mood. By the way, the I Know a Little begins. The intro has this kind of swing thing. It's a very fun song to play. So yes, I grew up hearing a lot of music. You know, when I started playing drums at 9 years old, I had a very great, albeit strict, drum teacher who taught me how to read music and did not teach me how to play a drum set. So for the first year, I was just playing on a little practice pad and just reading music out of a, out of a book. And then after the first year, my parents bought a drum kit for me. And the very first thing I did was put on one of my sister's Beatle records and play along to it. And what I quickly saw was everything that the drum teacher had been teaching me, all of the nuts and bolts, you know, of drumming. It all made complete sense then, because once I listened to what Ringo was doing on the records, I had an immediate understanding of what he was playing because I had learned the notes without actually learning any music to it. But once I heard the drumming and focused in on it, I knew because I could picture in my head how it was written out because that's because I was taught in that classic way to learn how to read the music first. So then when I sat down at the drum set to play, I just took what I was doing on one little pad and just started moving it around all the drums, and there you go. I was a drummer.
Oh, man, that sounds like, at first, it does sound very, like you said, very, very strict, but it almost sounds like you were actually getting the foundation, right, of actual music first.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'm a nine-year-old kid,
yeah.
And, you know, the dangling carrot of one day playing a drum kit was dangling right in front of me. But I was loving every minute of learning the math and, you know, right, left, right, left. I just could not get enough of it. And my parents never once had to tell me to practice because I was just fixated on it.
Oh, man.
I loved every minute of it.
Well, you want me to be your only man. Said, listen up, mama, teach you all I can. Do right, baby, by your man. Teach you all I can. Say I know a little. Lord, I know a little about it. I know a little. I know a little about it. I know a little about love. Baby, I guess the rest.
You started with the Beatles. You said the big band music. But then did you kind of grow into rock music later as you got older? Or how did that come into your life?
I have an older brother who had a really great record collection. So after those first couple years of just playing to my sister's Beatle records, I started to sift through my brother's record collection, and he had all of the records from a British progressive rock band called Yes, which I'm sure a lot of people know of the band Yes. That music was leaps and bounds advanced beyond the kind of drumming I was able to do, but I loved those Yes records, and I just started listening to them and try and slowly figuring out how to play them, and consequently becoming a better drummer with better technique because I was now playing more demanding music. Yes used a lot of odd time signatures, so I was learning things far beyond anything that my sitting at a drum kit had ever been able to do prior. And then before long, I started to play in bands with friends from school. And then at that point, you're playing whatever is popular at the time. So you're playing Kiss songs and Aerosmith songs and whatever was going on at the time.
What had led you out of Ohio? Because then you landed in like New York. Were you just
Right.
following the music and the bands you were in?
Well, yes, actually. As I mentioned, I loved the band Yes, which was a progressive rock band. There was another British progressive rock band in the late 70s called UK. That band very quickly became my favorite band at the time. Very, very advanced, difficult music to perform. But, for a young musician who's wanting to like push the ability as far as they can, you seek out something like that. So UK became a favorite band of mine. And there was a man named Eddie Jobson, who was one of the founding members of the band UK, and he was their keyboard player, and he also played electric violin, and he was one of their main songwriters. Well, I found out that Eddie had a recording project here in New York City. At the time, I was just playing bars in Cleveland, and I started sending Eddie fan letters, basically, and then that eventually turned into sending him a resume and sending him a videotape of myself playing. And he liked enough what he heard and saw that he arranged an audition. So I auditioned for Eddie in 1985. I put the drums in the car and drove up to New York and auditioned for him. And we hit it off.
Oh, cool.
And so I moved to New York in 1985 to work with Eddie on a recording project. And we did that for a few years, which was a wonderful experience. We never played live, but we were just writing songs and recording them. During that time, I was utilizing my artistic ability to make a living. So I worked in the art department of a clothing company in Manhattan, hand painting the designs that would go on the fronts of shirts, basically. And it was a children's clothing company, so I was painting, bunnies and duckies and things like that.
So it wasn't even silk screens, you were just hand painting?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, what I was doing, I was hand painting on the shirts that they would use as the displays in the showroom.
Oh,
And then
okay.
the buyers would come in and they say, oh, we want, 4,000 of that bunny. And then it would become mass produced.
So you were doing like almost like prototype kind of
Exactly. I
thing.
was doing the samples, as it were.
Oh, cool.
So during that time, I'm in this recording project with Eddie Jobson, and I'm working a day job painting bunnies. Let's just call it that. All of my other New York drummer friends are starting to land tours and go out on the road, which looked a lot more fun than having a day job painting bunnies. So I spoke with Eddie Jobson and I said, would you mind if I try and find a tour? And he said, no, that'd be great experience for you. You should do that. So it's very, very competitive in a big city like New York, trying to, get auditions, whether you're a musician, an actor, or whatever. But you just have to, throw your hat in the pool and just stick to it. And it took a while, but I finally did get my first audition, and it was with Tommy Shaw, who was from the band Styx. Tommy had at that point left Styx and had started a solo career. And I auditioned for Tommy. I landed the gig. We went out on tour as the opening act for Rush, and we did 4 months across the country playing every big arena. When I tell you it was baptism by fire, I am not exaggerating, because literally I was at the art department painting a bunny, and the phone rang, and it was Tommy's manager telling me, you've got the gig. You need to take a leave of absence from your day job, because next week you are playing Madison Square Garden opening for Rush.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it got very hectic and very intense, but it got very amazing as well. And then fast forward 2 years, Tommy Shaw and I, along with Ted Nugent and Jack Blades, formed a band called Damn Yankees that did very well.
Man, that is an awesome, I guess, road to that,
Yeah,
just
it I look back at it now and it feels like it went very quickly, but it was a slow burn getting there. Each little step up took time and a lot of work, but there was always a great payoff to it.
yeah, it sounds like it.
Absolutely. And it still is a wonderful experience today. When I think that I have the good fortune that I have the fine art and the music, two creative passions of mine, and I get to do both on a grand scale, I realize how fortunate I am and how great life really is.
Do you still keep in touch with those guys from Damn Yankees too?
Literally this morning I had a text from Ted Nugent. So we have all kept in touch over the years. We've all remained great friends. And I should mention that band never broke up. We just kind of went on a self-imposed hiatus. We all continually get asked, will that band ever reform? And all I can say is never say never. Anything is possible in this wacky music business of ours.
Is there anything else you can remember from your childhood that you loved, like besides art and music? Did you read or did you play sports?
I loved baseball, still do. I was a pitcher, a wild lefty. I'm still a wild lefty. I ended up over the years becoming friends with a bunch of players on the Cleveland Indians, which was very fun for me because it was kind of a dream come true to hang out with professional baseball players to the degree where I was working out with the team in full uniform. So
Wow.
that's been pretty cool. Yeah, love baseball. Love, love, love it.
When you're not on tour, what would be like a perfect lazy Sunday for you?
Sitting at my easel painting.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not lazy,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
but if I am not touring, Andrew, I am sitting at the easel painting. It's one thing or the other. I am not an idle hands kind of a
Yeah.
guy. There's too much in my head that needs to be released, whether it's really loudly with drumsticks in my hand or really quietly with paintbrushes in my hand.
I kind of feel that way too. Like, I get crabby if I don't get time to sit down and draw, even if it's just like a simple little sketch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's all about that expression. You need to release it. And it doesn't even have to be something that anyone else ever needs to see.
Yeah.
It's just about the creative expression, and if you have the ability to release it, you can, and it's incredibly satisfying.
Again.
have a favorite album that you've played on out of all the albums you've worked on?
I would say the first Damn Yankees record, the debut album that came out in 1990. You know, it represents an incredibly exciting period of my life when I went from kind of just being an unknown guy knocking around playing bars to being in a world famous band with a record that, you know, sold 2 million copies. It was a great time, and I love the songs on that record. I'm very proud of the drumming on that record. It just represents kind of my career really launching, as it were.
That's what you wanted to do, yeah.
Yeah, truly, truly. And it did. And, you know, 34 years later now, God, I can't believe it's 34 years, that debut Damn Yankees album is still selling. Still sells 34 years later. So it struck a chord. That's a pretty great thing.
I also was wondering too, how do you consume music now? Are you a streamer or are you still physical media?
All of the above. More often than not, I'm listening to Beatle records or David Bowie records. But that doesn't mean that I don't have a lot of new and current stuff, but yeah. I'm a bit of a creature of habit.
Yeah. I've got plenty of stuff next to me in this room. I guess I prefer the physical media myself, but I mean, the streaming's convenient because you can take it in your car.
Streaming is convenient, yeah. But I mean, for the people that own a turntable and vinyl records, that sounds so much better. It's warmer. It's got more depth to it. The low end is, it's not like a digital recording. You know, as convenient as it is, it's great to have something on your iPhone, and I do it all the time. Yeah. But if I really want to listen to something, you listen to it in that physical form.
I guess I've got one last question for you. Do you have any advice for aspiring musicians or artists?
I would say, whether it's music or visual art, just be true to yourself. I have found that I can do my best work when I'm not trying to do something that I think someone will like or will fit into a box that already exists, but just a true form of expression, being yourself.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you're only going to have the best results.
I really feel that way too, because some people have asked me to like draw or paint something like for them. And sometimes I feel like I do my best work if I don't think about it or I don't try too hard. So it's almost like, yeah, being yourself. If I'm trying to like almost maybe put pressure on myself to do something, it doesn't always turn out.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to be able to deliver what someone is asking you to deliver it, but have the freedom to deliver it in the way that you are able and most comfortable to do it is only going to be the best result.
I even found too, this is kind of off topic, maybe off air, but during the pandemic is really when I picked up drawing, because it was something I always did, but I started drawing the most then because there wasn't anywhere to go and there wasn't, you know, you couldn't visit people and you couldn't do stuff. So I basically started drawing cards for people and would mail them out to my friends.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Not only for all the reasons you've just listed, but very cathartic and very healthy to be able to do that during that time. And I will tell you, Andrew, during the pandemic, I cranked out more paintings than I had in the 5 years prior, because it was just this kind of window of time that had no distractions to it.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't do anything, you know, and here in New York City, we were locked down because we got hit so hard. I mean, literally, you know, we had a friend die right across the hall from us in our apartment building. You couldn't go anywhere. There was a certain kind of peaceful feeling that came from having to be locked in. And I just got very, very creative and very, very prolific during that time. Just like you did, as you said.
Yeah, I even picked up something. Have you ever heard of anybody painting with coffee at all?
Have seen people use different different textures and things. Chocolate, I've seen someone use. You mean coffee grounds?
Well, I don't know what this person did, but I think it was last summer. There was an art gallery where I'm at in Peoria, like the Peoria Art Guild, and my girlfriend wanted to go to that because it was something based off of like flowers, because they were doing paintings for Ukraine. So if it got sold, they were going to donate the proceeds, and they all kind of incorporated sunflowers, and it was the different artists kind of whatever they wanted to use for medium. And one painting really caught my eye, and on the little placard, it said coffee on canvas, and it was like this really dark brown, like I don't know, it looked cool. It was almost like monochrome or something.
Was it, could you see the grains of coffee? Was it textured?
I can't even remember, but I took a picture of it because I kind of wanted to figure it out. So then I've just tried to paint my own things with coffee, and it's more like, for me, it's more like a watercolor. Like I have one over here, and I painted Alice Cooper. So
Oh, that's cool. You use the coffee as paint, as the liquid, and then
yeah.
you dip the brush in and okay. That's very cool, and that's a nice work. What I have seen people do is use a structure like coffee or chocolate. It's physically still in that original form.
Oh.
So when you were saying painting with coffee, I was expecting to see actual like coffee grounds stuck onto a canvas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
M maybe
Which
that's what the artist did, but
you could do. I mean, off the top of my head, if I had a blank canvas, I would take some glue and I would paint with the glue, and then I would shake the coffee over the top of it,
oh, wow.
and then shake off the excess like you're doing something with glitter, and now you
Yeah.
have the coffee grounds adhered to the canvas with the glue.
Oh, okay. So is that how they use the chocolate then too? They just kind of.
Yes. Yeah, and I've seen people do paintings with metal, where the metal was the, let's call it the paint.
Yeah.
People have done things with plastic buttons, and it's
Huh.
incredible what you can come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I never thought of it that way, like coffee or like you said, like glitter, doing it that way too. I
Well, now
always,
you need
yeah.
to bring Alice Cooper with go buy some freeze-dried Folgers crystals. Those will
Yeah.
show up nicely.
Yeah.
Art with found objects. It's really great. Creativity is limitless. People just keep coming up with stuff
Yeah.
all the time.
What's the most unusual like that you've like seen like that?
Oh, God. I mean, I've seen so many amazing things. I have a friend who has done paintings using little ripped up pieces of cloth.
Oh.
And it's like a textured thing, but it's amazing how detailed you can get if you really spend the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me today. This was awesome.
Well, thank you, Andrew. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. Should we do another little thing just so I can say the name of the show and the date and all that?
I wrote down the name of it. It was Bella Italia, but yeah, we never stated the name.
So the show in Asheville is May 25th, which is a Saturday, from noon to 3. And Philip D'Angelo and I will be at his gallery, which is the Philip D'Angelo Studio, and it's in the River Arts District of Asheville. We'll be there from noon to 3 on that Saturday, May 25th, meeting people, talking about art. And then the art will hang for 3 more weeks in the gallery. If anyone's in the area, please stop by and say hello.
All right, thank you, Michael.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. This was
Yeah,
a fun interview.
thank you,
Have a
man.
great. Talk to you soon.